And so something I've been thinking about this past week, and actually that I wanted to talk to you guys about tonight, because normally this is like a sending type message, and I didn't want to give the same sending message I gave last year. And actually this is my third year speaking on this night, because I did my tryout the year before that. And this year I wanted to talk, instead of sending, about movement. Because we all move all the time, right? But we're all going to move from this place, and most of you aren't sticking around Brookings for the summer. So you're going to be moving back somewhere. And some of you are moving for good. All the people who stood are probably moving away from Brookings, probably to never come back. Potentially, maybe. But there's a good chance Brookings, South Dakota is not the home of everyone here. And so I wanted to talk about movement and motion. And I'm someone who likes to be in motion. Typically, I pace a lot when I'm on the phone or I'm practicing my messages. Surprisingly, I am the most stationary pastor on stage, but that had to be trained in here, because otherwise I would just be like, and then the Bible said this. And that's what I did my very first message. I was playing with the mic like this while I moved around. And then my senior pastor was like, you need to slow down and stay still and do intentional movements. And I'm like, all right, gonna stay home right here at my table. One step away, one step back. That's kind of my thing. And sometimes I'll take two, venture out into that no man's land over there. But I like to be moving. And the pastors who are here, Jesse and Kyle, were in my room in Montana. We shared a hotel room. Every time we go to something to do with like a retreat or a conference, I never want to sit around the hotel room. Jesse and Kyle are happy to nap. And most of the other pastors are happy to nap. Most of the people are like, this is my first time having 9 hours of sleep and napping all day in like months because I have children. I'm like, what? I don't have that. Let's go. This is a new place. I've never been to Rapid City. I've been to Billings, Montana only once before. It's really not that exciting. But guess what? I want to go adventure around and walk around. And why are you staying still? We have all this free time. And then they're like, you're annoying. And I'm like, And then what ends up happening is sometimes I'll get someone to go with me, or I'll just end up walking around by myself. And it's still fun, Adventure City by yourself, it's nice, but it's nicer with people. One thing I realized is that I just love being in motion and moving. And actually, first semester, after the snow hit, I was biking a lot. Taryn and Adam and I did night rides all last summer, and we were biking a lot, and then the snow hit, and I kind of just got like lazy, and I didn't do a lot of active things, and I was getting antsy at work, and it is bad when I'm not like regularly active in something. And then this semester, at the start of the semester, I jokingly told you guys I was gonna start running, and I ran 1 mile and thought I was gonna die. But I actually started running about a month ago, and so far it's been pretty good. And I notice I'm more productive at work if I run in the morning, or if I know I got a run coming later. It's like my brain's like, that energy will be used later. You can sit here and read, and I don't need to like get up out of my desk all the time. But also at the start of the semester, I started walking more too. Walking outside, because Kiana has a dog, and dogs that are 55 pounds and full of crazy amounts of energy need to be walked. So we would walk her dog, and I really love going for walks with her dog and with her, more with her than her dog. But I still love her dog. His name's Cade. He's awesome. So we go for walks pretty frequently, and Kiana actually jokingly says that the men in her life are both super full of energy, and apparently she's drawn to that. So, but we're both full of energy, and Cade is full of more energy because he can run for like 20 miles and never get tired. But even dogs have their limits, right? And they get tired. But it is nice to be moving and active. And I was thinking about the idea of moving and being active and going for walks in relation to walking with God, to being in a walk with Christ. Because that's what we call it, right? We say, how's your walk? That's what someone who's in a really serious Starbucks conversation or coffee shop, they're like, hey, mentee, how's your walk? And then they're like, you could say it a little less cheesy. But that's what we call it. We call it your walk with Christ. And I was thinking about that. It's not called your stand with Christ. There's like forward motion to your spiritual relationship, to your soul stuff that's going on. There's supposed to be forward motion. It's a walk. There's a going forward momentum to it. And I came upon this verse when thinking about walking and motion and moving with Jesus. And it's from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And it says, then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light." And so this is for all the people who aren't believers in Christ. He's saying, hey, all of you who are weary and burdened, like, come and find rest in me. And really, that's for all of us. But even when we're not burdened, this is something that we constantly need to go back to, knowing that we're yoked to Christ. And what he's saying by yoked, if you want to know, is that oxen would get yoked together. They'd be like this thing that would like bind them together, and they would have to like walk in like harmony together when they're plowing a field. And Jesus says, hey, we're joined together by this like wooden contraption. And when we walk, we're walking together, and I can take most of your load. I'm going to do most of the work here. You just need to be willing to give it over to me, and we're going to walk forward, and we're going to move forward. And actually, in the Message, I really like how it reads. And it says this. It says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." And one version I actually read added to it saying it's not always going to be easy, and at first it's going to be hard to get moving. But you need to know that Christ is the one who wants to take this. And in the Message version, it says, learn with me and walk with me and work with me. And then it says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And I don't know if you guys ever like walk beside someone. When you're walking, camera people, I'm going to move. When you walk beside someone, eventually, they zoom out. eventually, when you're walking beside someone, I don't know if you guys notice, sometimes you start going in stride with the person, right? I've noticed this when Kiana and I walk, like there'll be eventually, I'm like, our same feet are moving at the same time. And like, I have to shorten my stride a little bit because her legs are a little shorter. But like, it's pretty much like you're walking in this rhythm. And what it's saying in this version is that you're walking in these unforced rhythms of grace, and you're going to start to learn what living in this free gift, unburdened, is going to be like. What it's like to live without condemnation. What it's like to live without sin and fear of sin and fear of death because you have life in Christ. And Jesus says, I want to take it on, and I want to walk beside you and go forward and have forward momentum. So earlier I said it's not a stand, right? Said, your relationship with Christ is a walk, not a stand. But also, I was thinking about this in like terms of like, okay, but like, what if I'm being still right now? And what if God's telling me to be still? But there's still movements going on, and we're going to explore some of that now. There's still movements going on in your body and around you. So in Acts, if you want to turn to Acts 17, we're going to read verse 24 to 28. And it says, "He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in the man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall and determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far away from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And this is Paul talking in Athens. And it says that we move and live and exist in him. And earlier it said that he is the giver of every breath and life. And I don't know if you guys notice ever, and I don't notice this very often. Normally you don't notice that you're breathing. It's just kind of what you do, right? But that's a movement that's going on. And there's like all this other stuff. There's like little electronic movements going on in your head, and neurons, I think it's called. And science major, not here. But and like your stomach's moving and blood's pumping in you and you're breathing in air. And you're breathing in air, right? And it says that God is the giver of every breath. And actually, even further on the point of breathing, in our walk with Christ and the fact that we have movement, is that the Holy Spirit is always moving and working. But not only that, the word for spirit that is used in Hebrew and in Greek typically is the exact same word as wind and breath. In Hebrew, it's ruach. I probably botched that. And in Greek, it's pneuma. I think I'm a little closer on that one. And those are the two words that it uses synonymously. So in the Old Testament, when it says the Spirit of God, it could also be understood as the breath of God. And then when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we could talk about the holy wind or the holy breath. And so in a sense, even when we're being physically still and we're trying to be as still as possible in every facet of life, with every breath that we take, not only is it God-given to us, like Paul says, but we're also breathing in and out the Holy Spirit. We're breathing in the holy breath of life. And I know I said earlier, we don't normally notice our breathing. Typically, I'm not like, okay, breathe. Right? You're not thinking about your breaths every single breath that you take. But as I said before, I recently got into running. And the very first few times, I was like, I have to go as hard as I possibly can. That's what runners do. And so I go out and run like 2.5 or 3 miles, and I come back and I'm like, oh, I'm going to die today. Jesus, I see you. What I was actually doing is you're not supposed to do, is you're not supposed to breathe that hard. But what tends to happen is in our lives when things are going well and we're not remembering about breathing and we're just breathing normally, we sometimes forget about God. But when we feel desperate for him, guess what? In those times, when I ran 3 miles way too fast for my current fitness level, I noticed what my breathing needed. I was like taking back tons of air at a time. I was like, I need one of those oxygen masks. Where is the sidelines of the NFL when I need it? But we don't need to always be desperate and in this situation where we're like, oh, I'm down in the dumps, to be wanting to breathe in God. And the more that we walk with him and the more that we understand how yoked we are with him and the more that we give over our burdens to him and we realize that we're walking in the rhythms of grace with Jesus, the more that we start to recognize each and every breath and how it's given by God. And so I titled this message, Walk, Not Stand, and I wish I titled it with a colon and said, remember your breathing. Because remember that with every breath that you're taking in, you're breathing in the holy breath. And it's an opportunity to praise God with that breath, but it's also an understanding that that breath is amazing and that it's God-given and that we can do amazing things through his spirit that is always moving and that is always on the go, that's always being taken in with each and every movement in and out with our breath. And when we see the wind moving, we can think on God, and there's a ton of other stuff that can make us think on God. But remember to breathe, and remember that you're breathing. And like I said, with running, I'm 100% or nothing person. I started being like, okay, I'm not going to give my 100%, but I'm going to start researching 100% on running. And so I started researching what you're supposed to do and like a bunch of gear and all this other stuff. But one of the training things that everyone says is that like make sure that you're going at a normal pace and do 80% at like conversation pace and at this like lower intensity. And then do 20% high intensity. And I started to run, and it started to be easier to breathe. And then I started to recognize my easy breaths when I'm running because I was focused on those breaths. And I'm not saying to count every single breath that you have in a day, because that is what leads you to an insane asylum. But what I am saying is that is the type... And that's the way that we're supposed to be immersed into our relationship with Christ. And that's the way that he's moving in and out of us all of the time. And that's how intertwined he wants to be with us. And Paul said to the people in Athens, he said that God hoped that people would feel and look out for him. And that they would find him and recognize that he is the person that makes them move and live and exist. Let us go into this summer. And if you're graduating and not coming back, and for everyone else that's not going to be here this summer, let us go into this summer understanding the movements and the rhythms of God, the way that he's working and the way that we're meant to walk alongside him. He's in every single breath, and we can be grateful for all of those breaths, but we can also understand that that's how intertwined and linked we're supposed to be with Christ, linked with him, knowing that he's in every breath, and that we are all spoken to by the God who breathes life, and the holy breath lives in you and is going out of you and speaking into other lives. And I'm going to invite the band up to play some more music. And we're going to go into a time of prayer. If anyone wants to be prayed for, there's going to be a couple people in the back all through the last worship set and through this prayer time. But this time is a time to reflect. And as you pray, think on your breath. And the idea of walking with Christ, and the idea of constantly being in movement and motion with the creator of the universe, who also wants to relate with you, and he wants to be yoked with you, walking hand in hand, stride in stride. And the more that we relate to him and give ourselves over to him and recognize how intertwined he wants to be with us and loves us, the more that that rhythm and those strides are going to move in perfect harmony. Let's pray. God, thank you for Oasis. Thank you for each and every individual here. And God, thank you that we can come here and that we can praise you through your one Spirit. God, thank you for that Spirit. Thank you for that holy breath. And God, as we enter into this summer, let us go forward hand in hand, walking with you, living in your harmony, understanding the rhythms of your grace and your love. Help us to remember that we're breathing, to remember that we are your children and that we are loved. We pray all this in the name of the one whose love is above any other, Jesus Christ. Amen.